chapter 6 and verse 64 of the book of John. But there are some of you that believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. Now listen to this next verse. Chapter 6, verse 66. Isn't that ironic? No coincidences in the Bible. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. They quit. Amen? Then Jesus said unto the 12, he turned and looked at the 12 and said, will ye also go away? Are you going to quit too? Amen? If I had a dollar for every person I've seen get in church, join the church and get fired up and get excited and drop out, I could give us all a retirement. We'd all be rich. Amen? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered them, have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? Every time God's doing something, there's always a devil somewhere nearby. Amen? He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. I want to preach this morning on out of verse 67, or verse 68, rather. Peter answered, Jesus said, will you also go away? In verse 67, verse 68, Peter said, to whom shall we go? Amen. Amen. To whom shall we go? That's what I want to preach on. To whom shall we go? Jesus was talking about being the bread of life, and it troubled some of them. They'd never heard anybody talk like that. Talked about Moses, you know, out in the wilderness, gave you the manna. But he said, I am that bread of life. Any man that eateth my flesh, drinketh my blood, hath eternal life. You got to admit, that's pretty wild for somebody, never heard anybody say that before. Amen? And so they were beginning to doubt him a little bit. And some of them turned there in verse 66 and left him. And he asked them, lest the remaining 12, will you also go away? Are you going to quit too? And Peter made the profound statement, to whom shall we go? Who are we going to turn, Lord, if we do go back? What are we going to go back to? Amen? And that's what I want to ask us this morning. To whom could we go? Or to whom shall we go? Where, if you quit God and you get out of church, where are you going to go? You ain't going to fit in nowhere. You ain't going to be happy. You're going to be miserable. And the world is not going to meet your needs this morning. And the world's not going to give you peace. And the world's not going to give you joy. And the world's not going to help you like God will help you. Amen. The world's not going to give you what you'll get in an old-fashioned Bible-believing, Bible-preaching, Bible-teaching church. I want to say this morning to whom we could go, I want to say, first of all, we could go to the opinions of the majority. Amen. Many people look at whatever the majority is doing. We see that around us every day. It's all over the place. The majority is always in the wrong. You see that in Matthew 6:13, Jesus said, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many, many, many there be which go in there, because straight is the gate, narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. If you follow the majority, you'll be in the wrong. In Noah's day, the majority died. Every one of them, just about, except 8 people, the majority. We could, if we go to popular opinion, or if we go to the opinions of the majority of the people, we'll believe things that we shouldn't believe. You look at abortion today. It's destroyed over 30 million babies since 1973. More than 20 times the number of soldiers killed in the wars that the U.S. has ever fought. There's 4,300 babies are murdered a day in America. Amen. If you follow the majority's opinions, then you'll believe it too. Amen. You'll start agreeing with it. You'll start saying, well, if you stop and really think about it, that's when you start really messing up. It's when you start talking that way. Amen. If you follow the majority, then homosexuality will all of a sudden seem to be okay. I'm amazed in the last 10 or 15 or 20 years how many Christian people, so-called Christian people, act like, well, you know, what are you going to do? This lady told me that one time. A church I pastored, she said, so-and-so's daughter is, she's that way, but she said, what are you going to do? I said, bring them to church. I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll preach to them. We'll give them the truth. That's what's wrong with them. They need the absolute truth of the Word of God. Amen. Isaiah 5:20 said, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Amen. We saw just this year where a man that was a former gold medalist, he stood up and said, I want to be a woman. And the whole world seemingly just applauded and gave him awards and all that stuff. It's amazing what the majority will do and what they'll believe. Amen. You'll believe in the one world global community. Amen. Jesus said, Matthew 10:34, think not that I'm come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. You know how he sends a sword? Amen. He said, I'll set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Well, you believe in all those things. Amen. Or we can turn to the pronouncements of human wisdom. Amen. People sit at the feet of great thinkers and great minds of this century and the century before, and even further back than that. And just because somebody sits around and philosophizes and makes statements, people just think they're the greatest thing in the world. You've heard people like Sigmund Freud. Oh, he was a great psychologist and a great mind. Hey, listen, he was an atheist, an ungodly unbeliever, and his own son committed suicide. I believe, brother, if I was the greatest thinker of all time, I could at least get my family right. Amen? Amen. God's ways are not our ways, according to Isaiah chapter 55. Amen. God does not think the way that man thinks. Amen. You cannot trust in human wisdom. Amen. I'm going to say not only that, but the claims of false teachers and false preachers. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 says this, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. So Satan himself can transform himself into an angel. Hey, listen, no, just because you saw something don't mean it was God. Just because you felt something don't mean it was God. It has to line up with the authority and authenticity of the Word of God. Paul said, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. The claims of false preachers. If you'll watch any preacher just about, with the exception of two or three on television nowadays, they preach prosperity and health and wealth and you never get sick and you never have any problems and everything's going to be perfect, but that's not true. That's absolutely not true. I want to say not only that, would we trust in the dictates of our own conscience? People say this, let your conscience be your guide. That's what Paul did before he got saved. Amen. Paul said that. Amen. He said, I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth. And he goes on to tell how he persecuted men and women. He went and arrested them and took them and had them killed and slaughtered. He was going by his own conscience. His mind was telling him that that's the right thing to do. Amen. We can turn to the direction of our feelings. That's often where people turn. They go back to whatever feels right. It all started back in the 60s and 70s in America. If it feels good, do it. A lot of things feel good, don't mean you should do it. They say jumping out of an airplane feels good, that free falling. But if you shoot, don't open it, it don't feel good. It's that sudden stop, it'll get you every time. Amen. The Bible said there's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death, Proverbs 14:12. Listen, we can't trust in our feelings. Hey, listen, I'll tell you something, young people. You better be careful about them feelings. People get married for feelings. You know what they do now? People get married because they love somebody. In the old days, people got married and then loved the person they got married to. Hey, you say, boy, it sounds backwards. No, the way we do it's backwards because feelings can change. People change. You get married at 16, 17, 18 years old, 5 years, you'll be a completely different person. You won't look at things the same way. So your feelings mess you up. The Bible said he that trusted, you know, they say follow your heart. Every Walt Disney movie there is, and every Walt Disney cartoon there is, he'll say follow your heart, follow your heart. The Bible said the heart's desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. Who can know it? You don't even know your own heart. Amen? Proverbs 28:26, and he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. You're a fool if you follow your heart. Hey, young boys, if you follow a little girl around and just lose your mind over her, you're a fool. Girls, if you follow a boy around and make life-changing decisions based on your feelings, the Bible said you're a fool. You're crazy. It don't work that way. Jeremiah 10:23, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. The way of man is not in himself. The right way is never. Everybody has an interpretation of what the right way is, which way we should go, what I should do. This is what I want to do with my life. You hear young people, even little kids say, this is my life. It's not fair. You're making me do this and do that. I want to do my own thing. But listen, it always ends wrong because, brother, our instincts and our feelings will lead us down the path of destruction. Amen. I remember the first time I ever partook of alcoholic beverages, I thought, well, this feels pretty good. It ain't near as bad as Daddy let on. A few years later, I found out it's 10,000 times worse than he ever told me. Yeah, it feels good at first. It feels good at first. Sin, there's pleasure in sin. What? For a season, for a little while, you'll have a good time. Long enough for the devil to set the hook and reel you in. You can't get loose, kids. I'm telling you, you start fornicating and messing with drugs and alcohol, running with the wrong crowd. 2 or 3 years down the road, you'll realize you're in a mess and it's almost too late to turn it around. You better give your life to God right now. Boys, if you're dating a girl that don't love Jesus as much as you do, I'd break up with him so fast it'd make his head swim. It'd make him dizzy. Amen. Oh, but I love him. You'll get over it. Amen. You'll get over it, won't you? How many knows that's true? This puppy loves a passing fancy. I'm telling you. Hey, I've been in love a time or two. Still am. Right? But real love is not about feelings. It's about commitment and growing together and forbearing one another and taking change down the road. It's not about how you feel. The feelings will get your life messed up. In some ways, it's hard to fix. I tell you to whom we should go. Peter made another statement. He said, Lord, where are we going to go? We can't go by our feelings, and we can't go by the majority's opinions, and we can't go by the wisdom of man and all these other things. He said, Lord, thou hast the words of eternal life. Where are we going to go? Who are we going to go to? Who's going to give us what you're giving us? I want to ask you that this morning. If you quit church and quit God, who's going to give you what God's given you? Who's going to supply your needs? Who's going to bless you and feed you and sustain you and give you Holy Ghost power in your life like God's been doing? Nobody but God, nobody but Jesus can answer these questions this morning. Nobody can help you like he can. Nobody wants to help you. You realize there's people living right now today in America right here in Jeff Davis County that actually depend on the government. Do you realize the government could care less about you? If they could figure out a way to dispose of all the people in the nursing homes and just get rid of them, they'd do that. Well, they're killing the babies before they ever take the first breath, and they've got it now where you can take a baby and just drop it off anywhere and not even have to leave your name or phone number. We're messed up in America, people. The queers are fighting to get married, and some people go to church and won't get married. That's backwards. Amen. It's crazy. The Supreme Court rules in favor of them, and the government rewards people for shacking up. And preachers ain't got the backbone to stand up and preach against it and declare what the Bible said. Amen. Well, preacher, you're gonna get make people mad. Good. Maybe they need to get mad. Maybe they get the blood pumping a little bit and wake them up, and they'll do something about their life. Amen. He said, second of all, to whom should we go? He said, where are we going to go? I'll tell you where. At Jesus Christ. He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, we can't go anywhere else because you're feeding us. You're giving us the words of eternal life. Not only that, we know that you're God. We know that you're not just a prophet. You're not just another prophet or just another preacher. We know that you are God, that God has come down to us. Peter revealed those two great truths. He has the words of eternal life, and he is God. His words are true. John 6:63, in this same chapter, it is the Spirit that quickeneth the flesh, profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Listen, I want to tell you something we talked about in Sunday school, and I believe this from the day I got saved. I believe that all my life, people that love God will love church. You won't make me believe it. You can tell me if you want to, and I'll sit there, stand there, nod my head, but I won't believe it. Amen, brother. People love God. They're really in love with the Lord Jesus Christ. They love His church. They love His house. The Bible said Jesus Christ purchased it with His own blood. Jesus Christ went to the synagogue every week, and the apostles met on the first day of the week. He died for the church, and He said the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. People that love God ought to go to the house of God. If you really love somebody, we ain't gonna be able to pry you away. I understand people get sick, and sometimes things happen to people's jobs. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about people just could care less. Go to church when it's convenient. You realize what the Bible says? That every child of God will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. You're going to give an account for that. You're going to give an account. You're going to give an account for church attendance, for not witnessing, for not paying your tithes, for not telling your kids what's right and what's wrong. You're going to face Him, brother and sister. You're going to face the darling Lamb of God as He sits on His thrones with His nail-scarred hands and feet. You've got to answer for this life you're living. We're not talking about finding out if you're saved or not. We're not talking about that. The judgment seat of Christ is when we're judged according to our works. What we did with our life. I've been saved 37 years. The Lord's going to say, all right, Mr. Will Cox, you've been saved 37 years. What have you done with it? It's going to get right down to the rubber meeting the pavement. Well, I go to church. That ain't doing nothing for God. You're doing that for yourself. And if you don't like it, somebody looks at you wrong, you quit and go to another church. If we're lucky, half the time you don't even go to church somewhere else. Just get mad and quit. And not even get mad about something bad enough to really quit. I know I'm meddling a little bit here. But I'm going to tell you something, brother and sister. I've been doing this a long time. And I watch people get out of church for nothing. I wish they'd just tell the truth just one time. They'd just say, I'm just backslid. I'm full of the devil. I don't want to go to church. I don't want to live right no more. I want to cuss and fuss. I want to raise hell. I want to start back drinking. I'm going to smoke dope and take pills. I don't want to go to church. I'd think more of them, for being honest. Amen, brother. You said, preacher, that's hard. No, it ain't. It's the truth. His words are true words. His words are tested words. Listen, the Word of God has been tested down through the ages of time, and it stood all these years, and it still stands in 2015. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. If you get hit this morning, if something rubs the fur the wrong way, bless God, turn the cat around, all I can tell you. It ain't me that's hurting you. It's the book. It's the Word of God. I've always heard a man preach. It never hit me, and I never got stung and never got popped a little bit. I'd say, he ain't much of a preacher. I like that kind of preaching. It makes me squirm a little bit. It makes me want to come up here and get on the altar. Yeah. It's tested words. His words are timely words. They're timely. In John 11, they was timely words when Jesus spoke to Martha, and she said, if you'd have been here, this wouldn't have happened. And He said this. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Oh, listen to me. It's timely work. When he spoke to Elijah, Elijah said, I'm ready to quit. I'm ready to die. There ain't nobody left but me. God said, I've got 7,000 just like you. These timely words. He spoke to Joshua, and he said, I'll be with you. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. How would you like to be Moses' successor? The greatest people that ever lived. He'll be in the tribulation. He's going to be one of the last witnesses. Moses and Elijah. Not Moses and Enoch, or Enoch and Elijah. Enoch don't have anything to do with it. Enoch's the type of the church. He was raptured out before judgment fell. Amen? But Moses, here Moses dies, and God said, Joshua, I want you to pick up the baton and go from here. How'd you like to have that job? Well, Joshua just saddled up and took off, and the Lord said, Be strong and of good courage. For unto this people thou shalt thou divide and inheritance of the land, which I swear to their fathers to give them. He said, I'll go with you. I'll be with you. Them timely words. Joshua needed to hear that. Listen, God, his words are timely words. I remember times in my life, Brother Sam, when I was at the bottom, and I was sunk as low as I could be, and God would speak to me those timely words. Amen. I remember one time we were sitting at Welch Creek Baptist Church, where we used to be members. Before I came to Grace, I was in evangelism for a few years. And I was sitting there, and the preacher got up and preached. And he preached a message just to me. I thought, there ain't nobody in this church getting that but me. Every word of it was just laid right in my lap. God spoke to me that day. And I told him, I said, preacher, man, I'm telling you, it wasn't a shouting message, it wasn't jumping up and down, but it was timely, what I needed. He said, you're about the fifth person who's told me that. Then I got jealous. I thought, well, they don't try to steal my sermon. That was for me. His words are timely words. His words are testifying words. We're to learn it, love it, and live it. Amen. The Bible said, our epistles written in our hearts, known and read of all men, for as much as you're manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ. Listen, we are living epistles. We're the only Bible that some people read. Amen. His word shall be a testimony for them or against them. I'm glad his word's going to be a testimony for me when I stand before God someday. But if you reject Christ, you reject the truth, you reject old time preaching, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. If you reject it, it'll be brought back up to you in the courtroom of God in the far-off eternity. Ezekiel 13:2 says, Son of men, prophesy, listen to this, against the prophets of Israel. Prophesy against them. He said, that prophesy and say unto them that prophesy out of their hearts, hear ye the word of the Lord. Amen. Jesus said in Mark chapter 6, he said, you go into a place and preach, and if they won't hear it, just shake the dust off of your feet for a testimony against them. That means there's a judgment day coming, and no man can stand before God justified other than through the darling Lamb of God. You can't stand there and say, I didn't hear and I didn't know, because you are hearing and you do know. Amen. His words. Not only that, but Peter said, he is God. We know he's God because of the people that hate him. We know he's God. We know we serve the right God. You know when they shoot and kill Christians, the news barely reports it. But if they kill a Muslim, God help us. And the Muslims are the ones trying to kill us all. And our government's going to step back and let them do it. Amen. Jesus said this, if the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. Amen. That's right. Listen to this. I got these statistics just the other day. The number of nations with high levels of persecution rose from 33 to 36. Those with moderate restrictions increased from 44 to 46. The number with light restrictions edged up from 97 to 98. Talking about Christian persecution around the world. Statistics say that Christianity is the most persecuted people on the planet. Christians continue to be the most persecuted faith. In 2007, Christians were penalized or harassed in various ways in 107 countries. That peaked at 111 in 2010. Amen. Now think about it. We come to church in America. We live good. We enjoy it. Have a good time. We live in a climate-controlled society in our cars, in our homes, in our churches, but there's Christians in other parts of the world that's taking the gospel halfway around the world, and they get persecuted, and they're killed every day. But the news chooses not to report it. Our government controls what we see on television. I'll tell you how you can prove it. You can watch the Today Show, and you can watch Good Morning America, and you can watch that other one, whatever it is. There's three of them on the three major networks. And all three of them have the three top stories will be the same. Ain't that weird? You'd think three different networks would have different main stories with everything going on around the world. It's usually the terrorist attack, and then we've got a bad weather storm coming through, and then somebody done something, and blah, 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 and this, that, and the other. And would you believe, listen, brother, sister, there it's a propaganda, and it's a conspiracy. It's to control the minds and the hearts of people in America. And it's working. This last generation we've seen on television, We've seen everything being pushed on TV that they want people to do and accept. We've seen the homosexual movement, drugs, alcohol, all the partying, everything. They make it look good. They make it look like, man, what kid wouldn't want to go to college? What young man wouldn't want to go to college and have naked girls in his dorm room all the time and drink beer and smoke pot every night? But it ain't like that. It ain't like that at all. Amen? That's just the devil's way of trying to mess you up. I'm telling you, brother, listen, Christians are persecuted. We know we serve the right God because of the people who hate Him. Amen. When was the last time you saw a sitcom or a movie or a TV show or anything where it depicted God and Christianity and the Bible in a positive light? It's always some crazy, deranged weirdo. Really? We know He's God because what the Scripture says about Him. 1 Timothy 3:16 said, without controversy, there's no argument. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Jesus Christ was God. The Bible said in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the only glory of the only begotten of the Father. I will tell you, Jesus Christ is God. Amen. He wasn't just a good man. He wasn't just a good prophet. He didn't just go around doing good deeds. He was God, and the Jews rejected Him. And I want to tell you this morning, we know He's God because of what the Bible says about Him. He was fully human and He was fully divine. He's called Lord 663 times in the New Testament. He was holy, He was loving, He was compassionate, He was prayerful, He was meek, He was diligent, He was bold, He was separated from all evil, He was sinless, He was obedient to the Father, He was single-minded, He was all man, yet He was all God. We know He's God because what the Bible says about Him. We know He's God because of the testimony of His followers. We know anybody that really, see, people's hated God for centuries. Ronnie, come on piano. People's hated God for centuries. But what makes you know we have the right God is He changes people's lives. I think 2 Corinthians 5:17 said that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. See, the world looks at alcoholism like this. The only way you can get help is go to AA. And I'm not saying in places that help some people, but you got to get help from inside. And they say you got to believe in God, but they don't say what God. They don't say which God. It could be anybody. It could be God. It could be Allah. It could be Buddha. It could be Confucius. It could be a tree out in the woods that you go hug. Seriously. Any God. All gods lead to the same place. That's what the world teaches. But we know that the real one and only true God is real because of His followers. Now think about it. It started with the apostles. They witnessed His resurrection and they murdered every last one of them except John. They tried to kill him, put him in a big pot of oil and boiled him like hush puppies or catfish and he wouldn't die. And they took him out and he's still alive and he banished him out to the Isle of Patmos and he wrote Revelation. And the rest of them, they drug through the streets. Peter, they crucified upside down. Some of them, they filleted them alive like fish. Cut their heads off. all kinds of barbaric, and not one time did one of them say, wait, don't kill me. We've all made it up. It's a conspiracy. People won't die for a lie, but they'll die for the truth. If you don't have a copy of Fox's Book of Martyrs, you ought to get one. If you don't have one, I'll get it for you. Read what our forefathers went through. They died, they mutilated them, they killed them, killed their families, killed their kids, raped their wives and daughters right in front of them, tried to make them yoke up with the Church of Rome, and 99% of them refused to recant their testimony. There's something real happens in a man's heart and a woman's heart that makes her die for what she believes or makes him die for what he believes. You know, everybody talks about their convictions, and a lot of preachers do, and I've got them. Everybody's got them. I admire people who's got convictions. And a conviction is not a preference. A preference and an opinion and conviction, those are all three different things. But a conviction is something you'll die for. Now, I'll die for what we're talking about this morning. I'll die over that King James Bible. I mean, I don't want to, but if I will if I have to. Now, if we're going to repaint the church or repad the pews, I ain't going to die over that. Amen. I might want them blue and you might want them green, but I ain't going to die for it. No, sir. I ain't going to my grave over something that stupid. But I'll die for what I believe here. And you know he's God because the testimony of his followers. Look around. Think about it. Look at us here and sitting in the house of God and churches all over America and around the world. People sitting and they're dressed up and they're clean and they look good. You don't have to be dressed up to go to heaven. I'm not saying that. But think about what God did in your life. I remember where I used to be on a Sunday morning. We used to be headed to the lake or riding down to the river or going up in the mountains, riding around getting high about this time of day. Early, start early in the morning drinking and partying, all that stupid mess. But I had no life, no goals in life, no ambition, just living for today, just living for now. But God changed my life, I'm telling you. I've been at this 37 years. I know some Christians, I know what they say, are hypocrites, and I understand that. I know some of them, but for the most part, most Christians have left a life of sin, and God has made a change in their life that's lasted a lifetime. My wife got saved when she was 5 or 6 years old, and she devoted her life to Christ all these years. How do you explain that? How do you explain Brother Sam used to be on drugs and hooked on them? Drug head. Got down on his knees one night and asked God to come into his heart and his life. And just like that, it's over. How do you explain that? Didn't go to the hospital. Didn't have to go have a transfusion. He had a transfusion, all right, but not a physical one. I'm telling you, we know he's God because of the testimony of his followers. He brings peace. Isaiah said, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. When we have trouble, we go through a heartache, me and Debbie and our family, when we go through something bad, we'll say, let's pray about it. Let's talk to the Lord about it. Let's get down, let's pray about it. I ain't never seen one of them Muslims. You see all these Muslims on TV, and they keep trying to tell us we're not at war with Islam. We might not be, but they're at war with us. You remember that. They are at war with us. And I've never seen one of them that has the freedom and the liberty that we've got, that's happy. And I think it makes them jealous and makes them hate us even more. I've never seen a Muslim stand up and say, I want to tell you what Allah did for me. He's changed my life completely. No one ever cared for me the way he does. I've never seen one do that. They always run around with a machine gun and grenades and bombs, killing themselves and going straight to hell. He repairs broken lives, broken dreams, broken hearts, and broken people. His love is unexplainable. His peace is beyond understanding. His joy is unspeakable. He gives hope where you won't find anywhere else. What kind of hope is it to serve a God if you're serving Muhammad? What kind of hope is that? That you're going to go kill a bunch of people with your fingers crossed and hope when you go out of here that everything's going to be all right. You're going to get those 70 virgins. What about the women? What do they get? They blow themselves up. They're a bunch of idiots. It don't make no sense. What about the people you kill around you? What do they get? Nothing. They get nothing. It's a religion of murder and hate and killing. But we know that he is the true and living God because of the testimony of his followers. I've watched this thing over the years. In my life, my daddy was a preacher, and I've seen things. Y'all, some of y'all heard me tell this. Daddy had so many stories he could tell about different things. People got saved more back then than they do now. People get saved every Sunday just about. He said he's preaching a cottage prayer meeting one night. Anybody ever been to one of those? Get together in somebody's house, have church. Used to do it all the time. And it's at this woman's house, and she's back then, a lot of them old timers dipped snuff, and they hadn't hardly had no teeth, but they had snuff in their lip. And I'll never forget her name. I still remember her name this day, and I can't remember what I did yesterday. Her name was Dovey Dishman. Dovey, what a name. And she had a husband. His name come to me, Ed. And he was an old drunk, just a reprobate, mean old cuss, mean to the kids, mean to everybody. Everybody in the community hated him. And Daddy's nervous about going over and preaching. They went over and had that meeting. My sister got a guitar and sang some. Her and Mama sang a few songs. And Daddy tore loose and preached. And he said he was preaching. He said he heard somebody come through that back door and come run through the kitchen toward the living room at him. It was that big old Ed Dishman. He was like a bootlegger. Couldn't talk plain. And he come running in there and fell down in front of my daddy. He said, "Preach, I want to get taved." He said, "Mr. Dishman, he'll tave you. Right here, right now." They got out and prayed to that man. I remember them people my whole life until they both died of old age. They served God and went to church and loved my daddy. They'd do anything for my mom and daddy. When they'd raise a garden every year, they'd just bring all kinds of food and give it to him, bring him a ham off the hog, all that stuff. God changed that man. I mean, he quit drinking and quit running around and quit hanging out the bootlegger shanty, quit playing poker and all that stuff. How do you explain that? He's the only true and living God, and we know that because of the testimony of his followers. Everybody here has a testimony. Our problem is we just don't want to share it. Let's stand this morning.